Okay, the kids are already asking what's for dinner. But breaking news, empty fridge. That's okay. I'll Instacart. Let's add some organic asparagus and some farm fresh chicken. Easy. Wait, is the oldest vegetarian this week, or was it gluten-free? Gluten-free pasta. Covered either way. Cart it. And finally, some vegetarian gluten-free olives for my well-earned cocktail. When your family's shopping list has more footnotes than groceries, the world is your cart. Visit Instacart.com or download the app and get free delivery on your first order. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum order $10. Delivery subject to availability. Additional terms apply.
Kevin Matt talks with Matt Hardy.
There's nothing like a wrestling fan, you know, for better or for worse. How do you handle that, though? We're talking about people talking about your family, what they don't know about your family or your brother or you. How does one handle that from a day-to-day basis?
Something I joke about with the Young Bucks all the time. I said, if you would vanity search Matt Hardy on Twitter, I said, after you got through 100 replies, you'd want to quit the business and never be seen again. It's just, you just learn to deal with it. You know what I mean?
It's the Kick Rocks Wrestling Podcast with Evan T. Mack. Subscribe now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Tuesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Whole lot to do today. We'll have a conversation for you with Chiefs defensive coordinator, three-time Super Bowl champion Steve Spagnuolo, coming up at 8:20 p.m. Eastern, 5:20 p.m. Pacific. So we got a chance to catch up with Coach right before the show, so we'll have that for you coming up later on in the show. There's a lot to do today. And we'll get into the Derek Carr release. We'll get into the Colts and the Cardinals making their next selections as their head football coaches. But I still am buzzing about a few things from the Super Bowl. And this is what I want to just highlight, two or three things. We went through most of it yesterday when you talk about the brilliance of Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, how dominant that Chiefs offensive line was in the game and how they just made that Eagles pass rush non-existent. And also, you look at the difference in the first half compared to the second half, and the play calling got a little bit conservative, I thought, for my liking, from a Philadelphia standpoint. But when I go back to that game, there's just two things that I thought about more in the last 24 hours or so. The field goal, after the Chiefs got a touchdown, where they go into half, they're trailing 24-14. Coming out of the second half, Chiefs go right down the field, and they took up nearly 6 minutes off the clock, and it was a 10-play, 75-yard drive that resulted in a touchdown to make it 24-21. Philadelphia, they saw their lead go from 10 down to 3. The Eagles started to storm down that field, and they're in the midst of what ended up being nearly a 20-play drive that was taken off 8 minutes off the clock. Now, they ended up stalling when they got in the red zone and they had to settle for a field goal. And I've seen some people today on 4th and 6 at the Chiefs 15 say, oh, the Eagles should have been aggressive. The Eagles should have gone for it. I don't have a problem with taking the points there because of the way that the Eagles were playing, even though they allowed that touchdown to open up the second half. But that moment by the Chiefs defense, I thought, was an extremely underrated part of the game. And we've talked about this probably for the better part of the 3 years going back to the last time the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. We know this Chiefs defense isn't the best defense. We know they're not a great defense. But when they won a Super Bowl a few years back, even no matter how ugly it was early, they found a way to make timely stops. And sometimes, especially when you're in a high-octane offensive type of game, you could bend, but you just can't break. And on 4th and 6, or 3rd and 11, to only allow 5 yards to gain while on the short pass, and then to get off the field, I thought it was an enormous part of the game, because if you go for making that a 10-point game at halftime, then it gets cut down to 3, and the Eagles quickly answer back with the score, and it goes back up to 10, a 10-point game. And remember, at the time, there's under 2 minutes to go in the third quarter where they had to settle for a field goal. I don't know if we're talking about a Chiefs championship yesterday and then also today. So I thought that was an enormous part in the game. And you saw what happened after that. Chiefs get the touchdown. Then they get a three and out. They force the Eagles to punt. And then right after that, you get the great punt return by Kadarius Toney, sets him up at the 5-yard line. And a few plays later, Sky Moore is off into the end zone. And that's where the Chiefs really, those three drives, regained control or got control for the first time in this ball game. I know Mahomes goes down the field. I know Hurts afterwards goes down the field and gets the ball in the end zone and makes a 2-point conversion. But those things, even though the game ended up getting back to a scenario where it got tied, it kept not only the Chiefs in the game, but eventually allowed them to go take that lead. So that moment, and that was one of the two thoughts that I have, what was enormous in just holding them to a field goal and making a 3-point game go up to 6 instead of a 3-point game going back to 10 with basically a quarter left. And I know Mahomes, we've seen it before. We've seen him make up a 24-0 deficit in one quarter up against the Texans. We've seen him be down in the Super Bowl a few years back against the Niners, down 10 with 8 or 9 minutes to go, whatever it was. So he could still come back. But with the way that Hurts and that offense was moving the ball and the limited possessions that there were in this contest and the second half, and you could throw out the final possession of the game for the Eagles, because once the kick was made, barring some miracle, you knew that the game was over. But in that second half, Kansas City on offense only had the ball, which was 4 times, because they got a touchdown, a touchdown, a touchdown, and then a field goal at the end. You look at the Eagles, they basically only got the ball 3 times because you don't count the last one. Field goal, punt, touchdown. So that one field goal that they held them to really probably did impact who ended up winning this game or allowed the Chiefs to go pounce and make their comeback. And it just shows you, when you have Kansas City on the ropes, and we said this numerous times throughout the years, when you have Kansas City on the ropes, and we've seen teams like the Bills get up early in an AFC title game. We've seen the Bills be up late in a divisional round. We've seen the Texans, you know, all the teams, and Tennessee as well. All those teams that have had those leads, 49ers. There's always moments that you could look back and go, you almost had them beat. And when you have a Muhammad Ali, when you have Mike Tyson, whoever the boxer that you want to use, whatever analogy, on the ropes, you better knock the boxer out. You better knock the immortal player out, because if you don't and you leave just a little sliver of hope there, 9 times out of 10, the champion, the great team, the culture, and also what Kansas City has done for the last few years will find a way to pounce and will find a way not only to get back in the game, but then go out there and win the game. So that was one extra reaction after we did the big recap on Monday. The other thing that I thought of, and I didn't really think about this until Marco Belletti said it last night in the final hour of the show, is when we were talking about the James Bradberry hold, which you could make a case that there's holding on every play. My big point yesterday, my big gripe with the officiating, is I just want consistency. And you look back at that Super Bowl, you had no clue what was a hold, what wasn't a hold. You had no clue what was a catch, what wasn't a catch. There's so many things. The NFL, how many times we talked about it all throughout the year? How do you hit the quarterback? So I look back at that hold. Can you tell me that it's maybe holding? Sure. But with the way that it was being called in the game, I would have said that it was not a flag that should have been thrown. It had nothing to do with the time. It had nothing to do with the circumstance. But earlier in the game, James Bradberry clearly held Juju Smith-Schuster, and it wasn't called. Late in that game, I thought it did not really impact the play. And I know that's not what really constitutes if you throw the flag or not, but I didn't think the flag should be thrown. With that being said, I thought Marco's take yesterday made me think about something else, and this is the thought that I'll get to. Because Marco said yesterday that you didn't really see Bradberry on the field throw his hands up in the air, like couldn't believe that the flag was thrown. And after the game, I thought Bradberry was just being classy in saying that he held the guy. Because if that was me, I would be absolutely livid if something that ticky-tack did get called in a moment like that. But when Marco said yesterday, go back and watch Bradberry, and you don't see James Bradberry really be irate on the field when they throw that flag, I then also wondered, well, what was the reaction from Juju Smith-Schuster? Because you saw Mahomes calling for a flag, but how many times do you see a Mahomes, a Brady, a Rodgers, a Burrow, a Herbert, Lamar, whoever the quarterback is, you always have quarterbacks saying, throw the flag, throw the flag, and it doesn't mean that a flag should be thrown. But the wide receiver is the one that's going to feel the contact, feel the jersey tug, and maybe there's a different replay out of it, but the ones that I saw, it goes the other way too, where I didn't see Juju Smith-Schuster throwing his hands up in the air, imploring the officials to throw the flag. So if you're going to tell me, well, Bradberry really didn't argue it on the field, the thing that I would argue right back is that Juju Smith-Schuster, I know what he said after the game, oh yeah, it's 100% the right call. Like, what else are you supposed to say? And I don't expect anyone in Kansas City to say, oh yeah, the flag shouldn't have been thrown. You know, if you're a Chiefs fan today, it's not the reason why you won the game. But I wouldn't care if they threw the flag. Sometimes it goes your way, sometimes it doesn't. Everyone's been on both sides. But I don't want to hear that because Bradberry didn't make a big deal about it is why you should be fine with it. Because on the other end, I don't even know if Juju Smith-Schuster realized that his jersey at all got tugged, if that's what the call was. Because he's not begging the refs to throw the flag. He's not, and you saw it earlier in the game, when he was held in a big-time way up against Bradberry, he's throwing his hands up in the air. He's going nuts. I did not see that when I went back and watched it on the play late in the game. So that's just a thought that I had, two thoughts after the Super Bowl when we gave you most of the reaction yesterday, just things that I thought more about in the last 24 hours now since we're well north of the game that was played on Sunday. Now, the other thing that I think is amazing, and I know people take things really serious on social media, but it is Valentine's Day today. So first off, happy Valentine's Day to all. And I thought Juju Smith-Schuster had a really funny tweet today. Now, I know people are going to call it classless. I know people are going to say he probably shouldn't have done it. I'm just going to be transparent with you guys. When Juju Smith-Schuster posted this, and I know that Bradberry handled it in a classy way, I thought it was funny. Now, take your emotions out of it. Take who you had money on out of it. Take who you're rooting for out of it. When Juju Smith-Schuster writes, happy Valentine's Day, everybody, with the heart, and puts James Bradberry's face on a Valentine's Day card and goes, I'll hold you when it matters most, that's really funny. Now, Bradberry, I'm imagining, isn't going to respond to this, or I haven't seen him respond yet, but I right away saw this, and I posted a photo back with the fans, with the referees, and I wrote, we'll always be there for you. So who would have thought after the Super Bowl, on a Tuesday, we'd be having Valentine's Day cards being exchanged, but that's where we are. And A.J. Brown was not happy with Juju Smith-Schuster. And if you're an Eagles fan, I get it. This is still fresh. This is still something that you're very annoyed about. There's other reasons why you lost the game. Like for example, what you saw out of the Chiefs' offensive line, just making the Eagles pass rush be irrelevant, which was shocking to me. You could also get on some of the conservative play calling like we've been talking about in the second half by Shane Steichen and also Nick Sirianni. But if you're A.J. Brown, yeah, I get it. You're defending your teammate. You didn't like the shot that Juju Smith-Schuster threw, even though I thought it was funny. He responded back And once again, I'll tip my cap to A.J. Brown because I think this entire exchange is funny, where A.J. Brown writes, first off, congratulations, y'all deserve it. This is lame. You were on the way out of the league before Mahomes resurrected your career on your one-year deal, TikTok boy. That's A.J. Brown speaking. How about that shot at Juju? He admitted that he grabbed you, but don't act like you liked that or ever was, but congratulations again. So here we go, 2 days after the Super Bowl, over a Valentine's Day card, we have Mr. TikTok, I guess we'll now refer to him, as Juju Smith-Schuster sending out, I'll hold you when it matters most with James Bradberry on the Valentine's Day card, and then A.J. Brown getting a little bit annoyed, obviously, at that one. I have not looked at the Eagles' schedule for next year, and I know that James Bradberry is a free agent, but A.J. Brown, who just got traded there, is not going anywhere anytime soon. Let me quickly look at the Eagles' schedule, because if Juju Smith-Schuster is back, that's another part of the equation with Kansas City, and they do play in Kansas City next year. Eagles at the Chiefs. Oh, I cannot wait. If Juju is still on the team, I cannot wait for the pregame interaction between A.J. Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster. I would actually, you know, I don't remember. I want to say when the Panthers lost the Super Bowl to the Broncos, I think the next year they opened back up with the Super Bowl rematch. I usually don't remember those Super Bowl rematches being played to open up the season. I would kind of be fine next year, opening night, if we get Chiefs and we get Eagles to open up the year. That would be good by me. But, and that game is in Arrowhead. So that could be a home destination for Kansas City to open up the season. Let me also just check on that real quickly, and then we'll take a break. I just want to see the Chiefs' 2023 future opponents, as this just came to the top of the cabeza. And when you look at their opponents for this year, when trying to determine who could be that opening night game, so clearly you have the three divisional games against the Broncos, the Chargers, and the Raiders. You get the Bills, you get the Dolphins, you get the Bears, Lions. Those are the opponents right now, then the Eagles and the Bengals. And I could probably, if I'm the NFL, just looking at that schedule right now, not knowing what's going to happen this offseason, I would open up the year with either the Bengals in Arrowhead, or you'd open up the year with the Super Bowl rematch with the Eagles and the Chiefs. All righty, this is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. In the worst-kept secret, the Raiders have made a decision. They are releasing Derek Carr. When we come on back, some new destinations are popping up for Derek Carr. Where is he going to play football for next year, since now he's a free agent? We'll discuss that next on the Zach Gelb Show, only on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. I'm cracking up because I just saw from Adam Schefter. Andy Reid was asked today about how he celebrated the Super Bowl win once he returned to Kansas City. Yeah, I went to Pizza 51. I got a mushroom and sausage pizza. How about that? And a salad. Just to make my chubbiness feel good. Now, you have some jackasses that were complaining about Terry Bradshaw saying, hey, big fella, waddle over here and have a little fun with Andy Reid after he wins the Super Bowl on the stage. Andy Reid embraces being the big coach. And all the time with the cheeseburgers. And say he doesn't drink coffee, he just gets up and goes. And now talking about the barbecue and now talking about the pizza. That's wonderful. The only problem I have with it is actually just the pizza order. I don't like mushrooms on a pizza, Hickey. Now, you're very bizarre with food. I don't think that's a bizarre take from me. I'm still trying to figure out how you got food poisoning when all you eat is pasta and PB&J last week. But the thing I'll ask you, when you're ordering pizza, what's like your specialty slice of choice? Like if you're not just getting a regular slice, which is a cheese slice. I know I have to clarify everything because, you know, us being a New Yorker, and I don't know how it is all around the rest of the world, but when I say a regular slice, that's just a cheese slice with some sauce on it, obviously. But when you want to get a little bit of a specialty slice, what is your go-to specialty slice?
You can't find it everywhere, but penne alla vodka slice has every time I see it, boom, that's a choice.
You know what's interesting that you brought that up? One of my favorite dishes is rigatoni alla vodka.
Okay.
Like, I'm going to Philly this weekend, actually, to have a lunch with a few friends. And we're going to this place called Pietro's, which makes, I don't want to say the best, but one of the best bowls of rigatoni alla vodka that I've ever had. I don't love it, though, on my pizza. I like a vodka slice, but I don't like when they put the pasta on the pizza. That's just me. You know, if I borrow some tips from our friend Stoner Sirianni, maybe that's a little bit different. But if I'm just going Friday night, got nothing to do, looking for two slices of pizza, and let's say I'm not ordering a regular slice, the penne alla vodka slice is not the first way I go.
Really? Interesting. Mm-hmm. Would you have in the same sitting, like penne alla vodka and then a pizza slice next to it? Like, you know, you can do a little pizza and a pasta combo?
5 years ago, yeah.
Not now.
Now, when I'm trying to be less gluttonous, I think I'm only getting the fried calamari and the rigatoni alla vodka.
Okay.
That's what I'm doing. If I'm sitting down at an Italian restaurant, that's what I'm doing. I don't think I'm ordering a pizza there. But if someone maybe got like a bar pie or something as an appetizer, I think I would dabble a little bit. I think I'd do a little double dip. That would be fine. I would say my two favorite specialty slices are buffalo chicken, but you got to go to a place, like, you could mess up buffalo chicken pizza. And then I am a sucker for chicken bacon ranch, but if I'm ordering buffalo chicken, I'm probably not ordering another specialty slice of chicken bacon ranch. It's either one or the other. So I'd pick one of those. And then you know what I've really loved lately? The Sicilian pepperoni slice. Simple. But when you give me a Sicilian slice, like Detroit style, with those little circular pepperonis, and it's crispy, those two slices are to die for. Now, I think it's important to say, the reason why I'm questioning Andy Reid's slice option here of a mushroom and sausage pizza is I'm allergic to mushrooms. So, of course, I'm not going to like mushrooms on my pizza. You know, when I was growing up, I could eat mushrooms, but now they do not digest. I cannot digest mushrooms, and I have an allergic reaction if I ever do digest mushrooms. The sausage I like. I like sausage on a pizza. I think sausage is really good on a pizza. Don't fault that. Personally, though, that's a little bit of a problem with me putting mushrooms on a pizza because I'd be down and out for the count 1, 2, 3.
If you weren't allergic, let's say, in this world that we live in, this magical world, would you be okay with it then? Or like, are you only anti-mushroom because it doesn't agree with you? Or are you anti-mushroom whether it agreed with you or not?
So when I could eat mushrooms, I liked them on my cheesesteak. I had no problem with mushrooms and onions on my cheesesteak. Pizza? And my dad likes mushrooms on his pizza. You know, my dad and Andy Reid would get along. Because my dad usually loves to order either meatball and mushrooms or sausage and mushrooms. And I think sausage and mushrooms go a little bit better together than a meatball and mushrooms. But when anytime he would order mushrooms on a pizza, even when I was allowed to eat mushrooms, I would always hope that there was another half of the pizza with another topping or there was a different pie that we ordered because for some reason, when I was allowed to eat mushrooms and I could eat mushrooms, I liked them on a cheesesteak. I was okay with them even sometimes on a burger. When it comes to my pizza, for whatever the reasons were, yeah, was not a fan. Maybe because it's a little bit more directly. Like I didn't love mushrooms, like love them to begin with, but I would put them on some food. You know, when you have, let's say, a burger or something, and you got other toppings on them, it hides the mushroom a little bit. When it's on a pizza, that's more a little bit directly there, Hickey.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not team mushroom. I'm not team pineapple.
Oh, I'm
on
shocked
pizza.
By that you're know, not team mushroom real, on a pizza.
Going out on a limb here, not a fan of mushrooms on a pizza, but that and pineapples are two I think I will never
come around to. Like, I can understand why some would go mushrooms on a pizza. Like, that's not inconceivable to me, even though I didn't enjoy it when I could have mushrooms. But the pineapple on a pizza, I don't get why anyone would find that delicious. Like, I want to know what you are on if you're having pineapple on a pizza.
Yeah, the Hawaiian slice is never one that tickles the fancy.
So, what other specialty slices do you like?
Meatball, sausage, pepperoni, vodka slices, delicious. I'm intrigued by this grandma or Sicilian pepperoni slice. I've never had that. That sounds good.
Wait, hold on. They order it every Friday here at the station from Prince Street Pizza, which is delicious. They make one of the best Sicilian slices with pepperoni on top. They have it each and every Friday. You're telling me on Fridays you have not wandered over to the back of our offices and devoured one of those slices?
I have not, no. I usually bring my own food, and then by that point, by the time I mosey back there, it's usually cold.
Nah.
I love the people here, Cold's fine. People's hands don't know where they've been, touching the pizza.
But that pizza gets ordered later in the day. That's not a lot of contact.
8 o'clock at night sometimes, right. 9 o'clock at night.
You're too GQ. You're too GQ.
No.
Yeah, you are. Oh, I'm all high and mighty.
Three other people
may have put their hands in a pizza pie. How do you think the pizza's made?
I trust the guy making it. Do I trust people here? I know a lot of people that work here. I love everyone here. Do I trust them? I don't know.
Hot Take Hickey says Craig Carden and Evan Roberts' hands are dirty.
No, won't eat the pizza that
they so graciously give us each and every Friday.
They're very nice. I bring my own food. That's all.
Yeah, that's a problem with you.
It's more for you. It's more for everyone else around you.
Trust me. They order that pizza as if we have 9,000 people in this office.
Also true. Yes.
There's some, like, I usually only have two slices. And I think people sometimes get surprised by that because of my size and how large I am. And Angelo Cataldi, when I was his intern, once ordered an entire pizza and made me eat the entire pizza because he found out when I was growing up as a kid, my mom kind of had like a two-slice limit. She would say, you have two slices, you don't need any more than that. And that was the thing for the entire family. My mom thought Angelo thought my mom was just being cheap because then that means when you only have a family of four, it would be two slices a person. Now, trust me.
You ate a whole pie on air?
Oh, yeah. And wings.
Did you pull a Maggie Gray and...
Nah. It was through 4 hours? Puke? Come on. That was back in my fat prime of college.
It's impressive. Wow.
I could devour anything, but he demanded me to eat the entire pie.
A morning show, right?
And then a bunch of wings. What was that?
That's a morning show. So that's,
yeah.
What, like 8 a.m. crushing a pizza?
But you got to remember, when I worked that morning show for almost a year because they kept me around after... The internship ended. I was up those 2-3 days that I went in at like 2:30 in the morning. You'd have to get in at like 3 o'clockish because Angelo would get there so early.
So it was like noon, basically, with your body clock. Okay, I guess that does make
greatest
sense.
Internship ever. They were Del Frisco's was a sponsor of theirs, so they would bring in like once a month. You'd have steak. You'd have lobster mac and cheese. You'd have I think a lemon pie they would usually bring in for dessert, which was delicious. You would also have just asparagus, like everything. It was bonkers. I ate well during that internship. I probably gained like 20 pounds during that internship, if we're being honest, when I'm housing a pizza and then just devouring steaks left and right. But like you could see you didn't have a problem with Bradshaw, right? Like waddling over here. Like I'm reading some article today. It was in one of our affiliates. I don't remember which one, but I saw it was on the Odyssey website. And it was like talking about Terry Bradshaw, like being a part of the old boys club and like how it wasn't that big of a deal that he was fat shaming, but he was like, I made a joke about it last night that I knew that article was coming. Someone was going to bring up fat shaming. Like, give me a break. There's no problem with Terry Bradshaw. And you know what you're getting with Terry Bradshaw? Hey, Andy, big fella, waddle on over here. It was a great moment. And Andy, like there's some people that don't embrace how big they are. Andy Reid embraces how big he is. You know, like, look at Mraz in the morning. Like, if DA said the things that he said to Mraz, and Mraz had a problem with it, that would be an issue. But Mraz welcomes that conversation and brings it upon himself. Andy Reid's the same way. So I don't really have a problem with it. But you had a problem with the whole Waddle thing, if memory serves me right?
I just have a problem with Terry Bradshaw at this point in general.
He's jumped the shark enough. He's great.
I'm just not a Bradshaw fan. Like, that's really what we're doing here. But anyway, yeah.
But you love that Manning cast.
I do. They're funny.
Oh,
Terry Bradshaw just is, I don't even know what he's saying. Fly, Eagles, fly. Saying
that was a good
whole
moment.
Bunch of nonsense. He does him. I'll say that.
He's like the crazy uncle at a party.
Yes. That's a great way to explain it.
And I enjoy the crazy uncle at a party in like 15-minute doses. And that's what you get. It's like you have 24/7 of Terry Bradshaw. Pre-game hit, halftime hit, and then a little post-game interview on the podium. I've always been a fan of Terry Bradshaw because you never know what you're going to get. And when I watch things, I want to be entertained. Doesn't mean that you always agree with it. Doesn't mean that you always love it. But if you're entertaining, I do appreciate it. And I usually do find Terry Bradshaw to be very entertaining. You think we should start using that around here? Hey, waddle over here.
Trying to think who you say that to.
I can't say it to you. You're Mr. GQ. Can't say
like
it to
that.
You.
I like that nickname better than Hot Take Hickey. That's for sure. Maybe we'll get that to stick.
You don't get to choose what your nickname
GQ is. GQ Hick or something like that? Yeah.
Let's keep the nicknames to the professionals.
It's already trademarked, right, folks?
Just embrace what we give you and be thankful for it. I guess like Peter Schwartz would be a Waddle type of guy. And Mraz would be a Waddle type of guy. Anyone else?
Am I at liberty to say? I don't know.
What do you mean you're at liberty to say?
No, I said, am I? I'm asking. You know, there's like, you know, you mentioned on the air before. I think you're right. Like, if you're in the, we'll call it a fat club, you can call other people fat. But it's like one of those, if you're not in the fat club, you really can't call anyone else fat.
You know what? That is a fair point. And since I am a larger man, I do feel like there is a code where if, like, I would go after Mraz or I go after Peter Schwartz or if I go after Marco Belletti, we all get it. But then when, like, a little twig like you or, like, D.A. or, trying to think who else. Like Tommy Lugauer around here.
Stu slimmed down a lot.
Nah, but Stu was once a big... I knew Stu when he was big.
But he was never that big.
No, but he was not slim and trim like he is now.
So it's like a lifer card. Once you're in the club at any point,
yeah.
Like you're good. You can drop 100 pounds, no problem.
Yeah.
You're still in.
Like,
okay.
Like I've lost 70 pounds in the last 3 years. I still have fat guy tendencies, if that makes sense to you. I still have fat guy thinking from time to time. And I'm not saying I'm Mr. Skinny Mini, but there is a certain code there between larger people.
If Kevin Burkhardt was emceeing the Super Bowl and he said, hey, big problem over here.
Big problem.
Okay.
Because he's like GQ. I love Burkhardt.
That's what I'm asking.
He's a GQ type of guy.
I'm asking, you know, it depends who comes from.
Like Cliff Kingsbury. If he becomes a media star, and he's doing the presentation, and he goes, hey, Andy, waddle on over here. Like, get him off the stage. Not allowed. You understand the code here?
And that's why I didn't participate, and you're asking me to basically name other fat people around here.
So who would your guy be?
Who
Just
else is in this crew?
Yeah, I'll give you a free fat guy card here for one name. Who would be your waddle guy over here at CBS Sports Radio?
I think you hit them all. I'm trying to think.
HR is on line one. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. We'll break when we come on back. Where will Derek Carr be playing football next year?
Listen up, team. We've got a game to win. So here's the strategy. Deposit $200 at BetUS.com and get $450 immediately to play with. Sign up today at BetUS.com or call 1-800-79-BETUS. Be like me. Bet for free.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So the Raiders officially informed Derek Carr today that they're going to release him. And you saw from Adam Schefter that two teams that have been already kind of maybe interested or expected to draw interest in Derek Carr is going to be the Saints and the Panthers. Now, you may have forgot about this last week in the shuffle of the Super Bowl. I guess the Saints and the Raiders were pretty close to getting a deal done, and Carr said that he didn't want to get traded. Now, that does not mean, and it's been explained, that does not mean that he doesn't want to go to the Saints, but when you're on the verge of knowing 3 days after the Super Bowl, if you don't approve a trade, you're going to get released, and you could, A, pick your new team, and then also you're going to get a new contract. And I know he just got a new contract, but clearly with the way that that was structured, and we even talked about this at the time, they gave him an extension, but it's not a typical extension where you're locked in for like 3 or 4 more years at a ridiculous price tag. So for Carr, financially, even though you don't need any more money, you've made enough money, but when you play this game, you want to make as much money as possible. I'll never fault someone for that. You get to figure out whatever your new deal is, and you're going to be one of those guys that, even though I don't think he's a great quarterback, he is going to be a commodity because if Aaron Rodgers doesn't get traded, or even if he does, he can only get traded to one team. And then the only other quarterbacks that are out there that could move the needle a little bit is Jimmy Garoppolo. So if I'm Carr and you see the supply and the demand here, the supply is never really all that plentiful in terms of quarterbacks, but there's always a demand because it's the biggest problem we have in the NFL is the hunt and the search for your guy. And a lot of times a guy gets tagged to be the guy. And I don't think Derek Carr is this exceptional great quarterback. Now, he's not horrible. The guy's a top 15 quarterback in the league. But whenever he starts to take that step right into the top 10, and you think he could be 10 or 9, he takes about 3 or 4 steps back. And you saw that 2 years ago where he started to take that step. And then this year, I know you could blame a lot of things, but with the moves that they made this offseason, he fell flat on his face this year. Now, is that solely his fault? No. But what he could control, he did not control well in the way that he played the position this year at the quarterback spot. So, they're going to release him. They've made that decision. We knew a divorce was coming. It was just, is it going to be via a trade or a release? Now you get into the future destinations. And here's the part with me right now. You know the Saints are going to go after him. And I do think for the Saints, it makes a lot of sense to go bring in Derek Carr, where you're in that part of you have a solid team. You don't have a great team. You're in a very winnable division too. Like if they were in, I don't know, let's just say a division that was loaded with talent and you had at least 2 just unbelievable teams in that division, I don't think I'm making this move for just a guy. But when you have a division right now where the Bucs, their quarterback is Kyle Trask, the Panthers don't have a quarterback right now. Like Sam Darnold's the best guy that they have on the roster. Like you just go through the teams in this division. They don't got guys right now at the quarterback. Like Brady just retired. So you go through the teams in this division. Atlanta, Desmond Ridder's not the long-term answer. Marcus Mariota, we know, quit on the team this year. So for a team like the Saints, I'm going to make it a move to go bring in a guy like Derek Carr on what, probably like a 3 or 4 year deal, it probably is, I would imagine he goes for. Because they don't have, I know that the picks that they had is it's over to Philadelphia. I don't think they have another first round pick. It's not like one of those years we had 2 first round picks and just one was traded away. So they don't have a first round pick. So it's not like Carolina, for example, where Carolina has gone through the ringer of trying to find that next guy for the last few years. Like if I'm Carolina, I'm at 9. You either see who falls there at 9, or what I think you have to do is you fall in love with someone and then you move up that draft board and you give up future capital. So I don't know where you stand on this, Hickey, but just when you get the Saints and the Panthers, even though they're in the same division, you can make arguments similar ways with the circumstances that they're in. And right, Dennis Allen, I know it's year number 2, but not a lot of people believe in him. Frank Reich, it's year number 1. Even though I didn't love the hire, you're starting over there. If I'm the Panthers, I'm passing on Derek Carr. And if I'm the Saints, I would pursue him.
I guess the only tricky part for the Panthers is what quarterbacks do you like and what price are you willing to trade up if you want Will Levis or C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young. Can you get to 4? I don't think the Colts are trading down. I don't think the Texans are trading down.
You get to 3.
Could try, yeah. Yeah, that's probably gonna have to be the move. So
we've seen teams jump up a lot more than that. I don't even think this is like one of those years where remember the Eagles had to make 2 trades to get up to 2 to go take Carson Wentz, and that's the gamble because Wentz, you know, other than 1 season, really didn't work out for them. It's not impossible to move up from 9 to 3 or 9 to even 1.
No, not at all. You just got to give up a lot. And like I said, it's if you go to even 3, let's say. Depending who's at 1, you could be taking the 3rd quarterback, so it's just a little tricky. But, I mean, I get if you're Frank Reich, like, again, you just came from a situation when you had 5 quarterbacks in 5 years.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Derek Carr is not the guy that's going to get you over the top. So he may be there for longer than a year. He could be there for 2 or 3 years, but it's kind of the same thing where you're spinning your wheels again with a guy that is not the guy that's going to get you to the promised land. So I would agree. Panthers, I would say go for a quarterback. It's going to be tough. I would give up whatever it takes personally if it's me to move up in the draft to get a guy. But if you're the Saints, like, kind of stuck. This is the best option.
You don't get a first-round pick, and this is probably, like, you could argue Jimmy G. That's the other name. So whatever your preference is Carr, Jimmy G. Personally, even though Jimmy G's won a lot more in this game, I do think Derek Carr is a better quarterback, and he's more healthier.
Right, he's more reliable, be on the field more for a team that has just been decimated by injury the last few years.
I look around the other possible destinations. The Jets, but you're going to have to make that choice of do you maybe pass on a Carr, Jimmy G, and you throw it all in on the table for Aaron Rodgers, and there's a chance you don't get Aaron Rodgers. There's no one in the AFC West right now. Obviously, the Raiders aren't in that conversation, but you got Mahomes, you got Herbert, and Russell Wilson all committed there. In the North, no one's going to make that move. AFC South, I do think it's an upgrade if you go to Carr from Tannehill, but is that much of a difference? I would probably say no, you did slightly upgrade. I think the Colts made it pretty damn clear this year they're going to draft a quarterback. But if something goes crazy in the draft in the first three picks before you get to four, now by that point, it's a mute point because Carr would have already made his decision that it's not a terrible situation if Carr goes there, but I think they're going to draft someone. It's like you look in the AFC, the only team that I really see pursuing Carr in the AFC, Hickey, is really the New York Jets. That's pretty much it.
And obviously, like you mentioned, he is not number one on their list, which is part of the reason why I think if you're Derek Carr, patience right now is your biggest friend. Not rushing to sign him because...
No, you don't need to, but there's other destinations out there. Like you go to the NFC, the Commanders I think are a really good destination, even though their owner's a disgrace. You look around, like I don't think he's going to go to the Cardinals for half a season. You're going to look for a place where you're going to be the starter for the next few years. Seattle I think will stick with Geno. Stafford's going back with the Rams. It's really the entire NFC South and who's going to be like the Bucs, I think would be a good destination. The Saints would be a solid destination and the Commanders. Those are the three. And then you loop the Jets in and it's okay. Who's going to blink first? And you know, Carr's going to want to be wanted. And I don't know if he's going to sit there and say, oh, go flirt with Rodgers and then I'll maybe go to you.